This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
All right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world. This is Tracy Murdo with the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast. Today, I'm excited to welcome a very special guest, attorney Mike Morse, the founder of Mike Morse Law Firm, the largest personal injury law firm in Michigan. Mike, thanks so much for joining me this morning. I suppose it's afternoon for you now, isn't it?
It just turned afternoon. It's my pleasure.
Well, we have a lot of very exciting things to talk about. Number one, I want to talk about a great book that you just put out, In Fireproof, a five-step model to take your law firm from unpredictable to wildly profitable. I think this is a timely book for anyone who's starting out right now. God help them in 2020 if they've started a law practice. And also for anyone who's out there maybe struggling or looking to pivot and change course a little bit. Mike, tell me a little bit about let's talk about Fireproof first. Tell me a little bit about the book.
So the book is about a year culmination that my COO, John Nockhazel, and I put together before COVID, interestingly, and we decided it was time to tell our story. I, for 12 or 13 years, kind of ran my law firm by the seat of my pants. Really no processes in place, no systems in place. I was acting as the visionary and the integrator of my firm. And while I was making a nice living, I was settling about $17, $18 million worth of cases a year. Everybody was reporting to me and life was crazy. And then finally, after talking to my mentors and my business coach, decided I needed to add a COO position or an integrator position to my firm who could take all my good ideas or bad ideas and start getting them done, start managing the law firm like a business. And we did that. And we went from 17 million in settlements and verdicts to scaling from about 25 people to 150 people and $160 million of settlements and verdicts in a very short period of time, just by doing some of the smart business things that we did, which is pretty unique, I think, in this country. We grew to be the largest in Michigan. And we put down all of our secrets into the book Fireproof that's now out on all channels. And we just released our audible version. And we just released it this week. That's now available on all channels. So it's been a really fun process. I get to talk to nice people like you. We got people calling us from around the country asking for advice, asking us to coach them and consult with them and set up their legal jumbotrons and do all this stuff. So it's really been a whirlwind. And we're having a good time.
One of the things I'd love to circle back on right away is you mentioned, you know, when you started out kind of flying by the seat of your pants, and although you were doing well and successful, I get a sense from a lot of attorneys that are starting out, that's kind of the process. It's like they jump in and I imagine you've already got a million things going on trying to run a firm, and it's just kind of like a hot mess that maybe works, but isn't maybe as strategic as it needs to be. Do you think a lot of attorneys kind of begin that way as well?
I don't know anybody who hasn't begun that way. You know, you've heard the cliche that they don't teach you business in law school, or they don't teach you a law firm in law school. When my publisher asked me, what's a five-year goal for your book? And, you know, he was, I think, expecting book sales or money or anything like that. And I said, my goal for this book is that one day it's mandatory reading for every law student. And it's because if I had this book when I was in law school, I would have been a lot happier in my beginning years. I would have understood, you know, what I needed to do to really run a law firm, as opposed to what every other lawyer does is run around, get cases, make a little bit of money, get some more cases, make some money, try to hire people. Firms, most lawyers, I should say, are in very small practices. It's because they, and that, in my opinion, it's because they don't know how to scale. They don't know how to run a business. They don't know how to hire and fire and pay people. They don't know how to properly market themselves. They don't know what a process is. They don't know what data is. They don't know their numbers. And so, yes, everybody, I don't know a lawyer who doesn't do that, unless they go into a big corporate firm that has everything in place for them. But in my opinion, that's no way to that's no way to be, is to work for somebody like, you know, I don't want to be in corporate America. I want to control my own destiny and run my own firm. And that's what I do. And that's what I try to teach others to do for themselves.
Let's talk about, I mean, you have some, not only is it great legal information and in marketing information within the book, but I mean, some of the chapter headings and names are just incredible. I love it. Walk me through a few of your favorite slices maybe of from the book, and you know how that kind of can be used for either, like I said, this starting out, you know, attorneys that are starting out, or someone maybe who's struggling or is in been in this a long time and needs a shake.
Well, thank you for appreciating the titles. We spent a lot of good hard time thinking and trying to relate, or just so the lawyers can relate, because these are foreign concepts to lawyers. These are business concepts, and I am a simple guy and I like things simply laid out. And that's kind of how we tried to make this book. I didn't want a 500 page book. I wanted a 200 page book that told lawyers everything. And if they read it, there was easy, quick takeaways. There's links, there's free information into, you know, download. So my two, I guess, you know, two chapters that stick out to me are our Jumbotron chapter, Knowing Your Numbers, and then the Cherry Garcia Beats Vanilla chapter.
That has to be my favorite.
Yeah, so let's go there. I mean, it's, you know, legal advertising and marketing in this country absolutely is atrocious. It's gross. It's boring. It's pathetic. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't stomach it. I said, I'm not doing that. I need to go out there and market and advertise, but I can't do what all these horrible commercials do. I've traveled the country. I look on TV, I look at ads, and it's embarrassing, right? I don't know a lawyer who wouldn't say it's embarrassing. So I decided to be different. I decided that all these vanilla lawyers out there, these vanilla commercials out there, I couldn't do it. I wanted to stand out. And what flavor stands out? Well, Cherry Garcia stands out. It's got the chocolate chunks. It's got the cherries. It's got the amazing ice cream flavors. And it stands out. You remember it. It's memorable. You grab for it when you go to the cooler. And I wanted to stand out in my market because there was five or six people spending $30, $40 million a year on TV. And I didn't have the money to compete. I had to figure out what I had. So my commercials are very unique. I believe they're special. I have won national awards on my commercials from the National Trial Lawyer Institute. We are up for a Clio Award, which is just a national advertising award.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Yeah, I just found out 2 weeks ago. We have a commercial out right now called The Masked Man, which is basically me running around Detroit with a black mask on in black and white commercial with the Lone Ranger music running in the background only, and with cards that go up like they used to do in the olden days. And I've gotten 1,000 emails thanking me for the spot, commending me on the spot. And it's been an incredible, the feedback's been incredible. And so that's going to break the noise, right? That's going to break through the vanilla commercials. And I love doing it. And in fact, since the book's come out, three or four law firms have hired the guy who does my commercials to come to San Diego, to come to, I think, South Carolina, to come to New York, to do commercials there to break through the noise. And that's flattering, you know, to me. The person doing the ads, Ross Lerner at Lerner Advertising, it's flattering for him. And it's making a difference. These lawyers are calling me, thanking me. And it's breaking through the noise. They're getting calls. And if they stick with it for a year, two or three, they're going to see some major, major improvements.
Now, do you have a background in advertising, correct?
I do not. It's just kind of now it's a hobby, and I just love.
So that's, you know, where all. So just, you don't have like a professional background yet. You have this knack of having PR or an advertising agency kind of flair to you. And that's between your personality and what you put out there for the public. You have that almost feel of having that advertising agency, you know, behind you or within you. And I don't think a lot of attorneys, that doesn't come naturally.
No, I agree with you. Let me answer that in two ways. So number one, I have a very good advertising agency behind me, Lerner and Associates out of Beverly Hills, Michigan. And most of the lawyer commercials you see have cookie cutter agencies who do 50 lawyers around the country behind a green screen on top of a truck. They all suck. And then you have very few who hire a real agency because like most ads are free. Most lawyers get their ads done for next to nothing or free. Mine cost $20,000 to $50,000 a shoot. And, you know, and have you seen my commercials? Did you look them up?
Yes, I have. I mean, yeah.
So they look like expensive commercials and they cut through the noise and the creative is really, really special and good. I didn't write them. I'm taking zero credit. I'm smart enough to know that you got to spend money to make really good ads. And so what happened in my market was I started spending money on the ads. And what did my competitors do? They started spending money on their ads to make their ads better, to try to keep up with my ads. And that's, you know, that's what happens. But at least I was the first one out with some really good ads. And I'm proud of them. If anybody, any of your listeners want to go look at them, my YouTube channel has them all. There's no secrets. Mike Morris Law Firm under YouTube. And they're all there to see and enjoy. And if you subscribe to our channel, they'll, you know, as we drop new commercials, you'll get notifications.
Mike, tell me a little bit back up to March or so when obviously the shutdowns were happening and things were, you know, starting to kind of go off the rails across the, not just the country, I guess the world. What was your firm's initial response to kind of figuring out how to deal with clients now or how to deal with court cases or, you know, anything that was related to keeping the practice going? And how do you think, you know, you're not only everything you put in the book, but just your personality and persona kept everything kind of alive and thriving?
So because we were fireproof, we are also COVID proof and we are hurricane proof. Not that we get hurricanes in Michigan, but we're tornado proof.
Hey, it's 2020. Say that.
right. We're flood proof. I mean, this book, you know, fireproof is a metaphor for disasters, and COVID is an absolute disaster. I'm an auto lawyer. How many people were driving on the roads between March and July of this year?
Not many.
My business took a hit. Yeah, my business took a hit. The courts are still closed in my jurisdiction, except for Zoom motions. There's no trials happening. But because we were fireproof, on March 15th, when we had to close our offices, every one of my 150 staff members were ready to go with their own computers in place, printers, phones, protocols were already tested because, you know, we've been testing this for 12 years. You know, we spend so much on TV now that if there's a snow day, which we get up here, and my staff can't show up, well, they're still going to work from home. The new intake calls are going to get answered and the firm is going to run. So when COVID came up pretty quick, right? The shutdown came up pretty quick. We made a decision on a Sunday for a Monday to close and we didn't miss a beat. So, you know, we were prepared. Our processes are in place. We have disaster processes. We've had them in place for 10 years. We've tested this plan with snow days. I know a lot of firms that took them weeks and weeks and weeks to get an order and we didn't. And so, you know, my pitch is that people should become fireproof. So when that next disaster comes, they will be ready. And the firms that do it are happier and more secure and confident. I was confident. When my executive team and I made that decision on Sunday, I wasn't nervous at all. I didn't panic. I just said, okay, we're closed. Everybody worked from home. We had to make some decisions how to communicate with our clients. We did it. We cascaded the message to our team, to our clients. And we're still rolling. It's amazing. It's just amazing when that stress is when there's no stress, you could just keep rocking and rolling, and that's what we've done.
But Mike, where does that foresight come from? Where you were? I mean, I guess that's the whole, you know, premise of the book itself being fireproof. How did you know that it was so imperative to be fireproof? And I mean, to the extent that, you know, you're still thriving during COVID, which, you know, I think that kind of trumps a lot of natural disasters at this point in terms of wiping businesses out.
So in about 2005 or six or seven, I went paperless. I was one of the first firms in the country to do it. In 2007, late 2007, my building basically burnt down. And because we were paperless, we were able to be in court the same day as the fire. Fire was 3, 4 in the morning. My lawyers were in court 9 o'clock with their files because they were all on a server. We had already, they could download it to their laptops and whatever. And we were moving just fine. And then after the fire, you know, we started putting all of our processes down in paper and we started becoming more ready for disasters. I don't know what is in me that made me do that, but, you know, in the book we describe the difference between a visionary and an integrator. I'm clearly a visionary. I have 100 ideas a day. I can't follow through on those ideas because I'm a visionary, so I had to find somebody who could. My COO, John, follows through on those ideas. And if I say we need a disaster recovery plan, he makes it happen. And so I know that a lot of lawyers don't think like this, but I'm teaching. It's a learned thing that they can learn. And I, you know, your question is a good one. I don't know what's in me that makes me think and do the things I do. But most of my ideas are in that book. And if the lawyers follow my 5-step process, they will be safer. They will be able to predict better. They will be more profitable. They will have more time to work on the things that they love to do and that they're great at. And they're going to be able to delegate the things that they're not so good at and that they don't like to do. And their lives will be happier. They'll make more money. And I'm seeing that from the people reading my book, from the feedback that I'm getting. And so that's my desire. That's my wish for all the lawyers out there in this country.
Oh, I love that. You already have such a positive spin, it seems, on everything, you know, that you've talked about so far. So when you headed into the shutdowns and throughout the summer, and I mean, even now, I mean, I'm sitting here in Dallas and I was watching the news and now we're talking about more shutdowns potentially coming. What do you think you and your staff took out of this experience that you maybe didn't have before that you added to your weaponry that, you know, maybe you'll have to use again, but at least it's something that, you know, knew that you picked up?
That's a good question. I mean, this is just completely unprecedented. We've probably added a few processes, you know, for client communication, and I'm figuring out, like everybody is, how do I keep in contact with my 150 employees. We had an all staff Zoom meeting last night at 4 o'clock where I talked for an hour and went through the numbers and kept everybody up to date how we're doing and all the initiatives that we're working on and how to best keep in touch with our clients, which is not secret. I mean, there's no magic, right? You just got to keep in touch with people. You got to let people know what's happening. So communication channels, trying to figure out how to, you know, we went from in-house signing up clients to doing everything electronically. And that was pretty quick because we were doing some of that already, but now it's probably 95% of it. So, you know, the world's changing, Zooming with our clients, trying to huddle with my team every Thursday at lunch. We played around. We did for like the first 2 months, we did a Zoom at noon on Tuesdays where somebody would teach a skill. I taught them how to make a Caesar salad from scratch. You know, as a law firm owner, it's hard to, you know, keep the culture going when you're not in the office. And I hate it. Okay. I'm not advocating for it. I hate it. I told my staff, I'd love to see more of you in the building. You know, please come. The water's fine. We have masks. We have sanitizers. We're socially distancing. We have temperature things all over. You know, I'm trying to make people feel safer, but a lot of people are scared out there. And I respect that. And I'm just trying to figure out, you know, where we're going because the future is uncertain. And I don't know when 150 people will be able to be back in an office setting. I don't know. I don't know if that's a year away or 5 years away or never. Here, that I can't tell you. But whatever it is, we're adapting and we're thinking about it. We're talking about it. And luckily, I have a really good leadership team of 8 individuals that we meet every single week and we talk about these things. So I'm not alone. That's one thing we talk about in the book and that I stress for law firms is, you know, the solos out there, the people who have staff, but you're alone making decisions. That's hard. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I used to do that and it's lame. It's bad. It's not good business. It's not smart. You need a team. And it could be 3 people. It could be 2 people, but you need people to bounce things off. You need people to help you and say, I'll do that, Mike. I'll go do that for you. Let's you know, let's communicate it. I can handle that. And you're able, you know, able to delegate and work as a team. And a lot of law firms don't have that. When somebody calls me and says, Mike, I need your help. You help me down here in South Carolina grow my firm. I'm like, okay, well, tell me about your leadership team. My what? Well, you know, your executive team. My what? Well, you're making all the decisions yourself. Yep. And I said, okay, well, we got a lot of work to do here. And it starts from there. And you just can't be alone. You need input. You need help. And that's one of the 20 things that I'm working on with different firms.
Well, and that's a good point. So when you talk about your executive team and things like that, now that doesn't necessarily mean someone has to be in a firm or have a firm of 150, you know, people. You could really boil that down to a much smaller firm as well and still have the same resources and the same go-to people, I'm assuming, and turn it into your think tank, so to speak.
We just signed up a consulting client in Phoenix, and I met with him last week, and he has 12 or 13 employees, and he didn't have an executive team or leadership team. And he didn't even know the concept. I said, well, how often are you meeting with your staff? He said, never. You know, one-on-one, and he talks to his staff, but they're never getting in a room to talk. I mean, get in a room and talk to your people once a week, once a quarter, once a month, whatever. I mean, you all have to be together. And now it's actually easier on Zoom, right? Because everybody's schedules are different.
But very true,
you know,
right?
You gotta talk. You got to communicate. I highly recommend a leadership team or executive team to help you and help you make decisions so you're not alone, and delegate direct reports depending on the size of your firm. Nobody reports to me but my COO out of 150 people. They used to all report to me. Now one person reports to me. I mean, that's where you need to get to, or you get to two or three or four people report to you, but not everybody. Everybody, you can't get your work done if you got more than five or six people reporting to you. So, but lawyers don't think like this. We're talking accountability charts. We're talking organization charts, and just lawyers. These are foreign terms to lawyers.
Well, and I think it goes back to, you know, what you were saying right at the beginning when we started talking, and I'm a firm believer in systems. That's the only way my life could function, you know, working and having two kids and homeschooling now and this and this and this and this. I have systems. You know, not everyone is mentally built that way, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't implement it in your firm, I'm assuming, right?
Of course. Absolutely. They just got to be... They got to put on their business hat. They got to stop working in their business and decide that it's time to start working on their business and focusing, you know, slow down, take the time, hire a business consultant and figure out what it means to run a business. And a law firm is a business.
And that's what I hear from attorneys so often from, you know, small practices or solo attorneys, is that they're just like, I'm not a business person. I'm a lawyer. You know, I'm here to practice law. But when it comes down to it, there is more than just practicing law if you want to be successful. Correct?
I mean, that's the whole premise of the, I mean, that's one of the premises of the book, is that, you know, you got to figure out. I mean, if look at certain type of people are listening to your podcast right now. Certain type of people are picking up my book and other people's books to figure this out. And those are the ones who are going to get it. Most lawyers aren't going to do it. That's a very small percentage of the legal population who are looking for help in this arena to run it like a business. A lot of people are just happy. 1, 2, 3 people, law firms, they're happy. They're making money. They don't care to scale. And that's fine. But the ones who have ambition and who want to grow and build a business are the ones who are, you know, listening to like this podcast and figuring it out and making it happen. But it's certainly not everybody. And I'd say the vast majority don't get it and will never get it.
Well, I love that you do mention that too, and focus on that, is that, you know, it's fine for anyone who wants to stay, you know, in the beige, so to speak. But if you want growth, you need to do, you know, these certain things. And that's, I think, critical, that it's easy to stay comfortable and coast, but it's, you know, another thing to take it to the next level, especially right now. I think with the future is unknown for everyone, it's like you have to have a few different, you know, angles and hats and pivot and be able to make different marketing moves and, you know, that type of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, it's a choice. It's the people who want to learn and who want to read and who want to listen to great podcasts and want to scale and change their business structure. And it's completely doable. I mean, to me, it's easy. you know, I can talk like this, talk about this stuff all day, every day, because I've lived it for the last 25 years. I know what works. I know what doesn't work. But by talking to the dozens of lawyers I'm talking to, lawyers don't get it. And I get emails every day that my book was an aha moment for them. They never heard of an integrator. They never heard of a leadership team. They never heard that you should be tracking your numbers. They never heard the term, you know, fire fast, hire slow. They never heard that you could test employees to see what their personalities are like before you hire them. I mean, and on and on and on. And these are all, I hope, are aha moments. And then I hope you like them and go implement them. I mean, that's my desire for writing the book.
Well, Mike, where can people get a hold of the book? I know it's on Amazon, but where else is Fireproof available?
It's everywhere you can buy a book. It's available. It's available digitally, and they'll send you a copy within a couple of days on Amazon for sure. Audio, we talked about Audible. It's on Audible and all those channels. And if anybody wants to check out our commercials, I gave that. We're on Instagram at 855MikeWins. We're on Facebook. My website is 855MikeWins.com. They can email me at mike@855MikeWins.com to get more information on our consulting services. And that's, you know, I love to hear from people. I love questions. I love talking to people about this stuff. It's really fun watching people get some clarity and get some aha moments and say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go hire myself an integrator. I'm going to, you know, reorganize and start looking at my numbers. It's so fun to watch people's eyes open up and really get it and then start seeing the relief that I'm seeing other firms get. It's just super gratifying.
Well, Mike, I really want to thank you for your time. And yes, you are extremely Googleable, as they say. You're very easy to find contact and information on. But Mike Morse, you have really, I think, changed already probably a lot of attorneys' lives. And honestly, reading the Fireproof book is going to be a great help, I think, to any small or solo attorney who's out there listening. And I just thank you for your time today. And thanks for all these insights and sharing this information. And like I said, a lot of attorneys don't think this way and maybe have to force themselves to. And if not, at least read the book and hire somebody who does.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594 or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.